Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas. I'm so glad that you have joined us yet again. It is exciting. It's good stuff we're talking about tonight. I'm pumped for this one. This is a popular topic, too. Not too surprised. It dominated the last decade in film, which we talked about when we did our movies of the decade a few weeks ago. And now we're circling back around to talk about MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we're going to do our top five films that are in the MCU. So I got two guys to come along that I feel like are super fans in this category. I'm going to let them kind of, well, tell me if that's right or not. First of all, I assume they are based on what I know of them. So this guy's been on before, I want to say twice, and both times he came on, we talked music. So Imran, this is the first time we're diving into movies together, right?
Yo, yeah, Gerald, thanks for having me back. And this is like, this is my, in my wheelhouse, hosting the Jock and Nerd podcast, where all we talk about is comic book and superhero movies and television. Super fan accurate, maybe even an understatement, but yes, huge decade for the MCU, and just happy to geek out about it anyway.
I love it, man, and I always love having you on. I've mentioned before how I love your energy. You know, we're recording this, you know, close to midnight my time, and I'm like, I just heard you do that little spiel, and I'm like, wide awake now, ready to go.
There we go.
So thank you so much. You're like a jolt of energy for me every time I have you on.
It's all the recreational cannabis I've consumed since it went legal here January 1st in Chicago.
Wow. Yeah, you're all...
I got some good shit out here.
Happy New Year, man. Happy New Year.
Yes, yeah, Happy New Year.
So Imran from the Jock and Nerd podcast, and he's back on Two Peas. So happy to have you, brother. And then this guy has never been on before, but we were on a show together about a month ago. We have a mutual friends over there at the Epic Film Guys. And we went on, Sean and I, and we discussed the movies of 2018. And I just fell in love with this dude. I mean, you'll hear his voice. I fell in love with his voice. And I guess he kind of has a reputation for that. They call him the Velvet Drizzle. But say what's up to Sean from the story of Your and Yours. What's up, brother?
What's happening, man? I am so excited to be here. Like I told you on the Epic Film Guys, I love to go on podcasts and pretend to be a movie podcaster. So I'm super excited to be here. And I am indeed a super fan. So this is exciting for me.
Well, that's good stuff, man. Yeah, I'm happy to have you. First timer is always thrilling when I have a first timer on the show. And then to have your voice to be able to listen to when I'm editing this back, man. I don't know. My wife better watch out, buddy.
It's the Velvet Drizzle.
Yeah, it is. All right, so I'm happy to have both of you dudes. Thank you so much. So we are doing our top five MCU films tonight. So real quick before we dive into our countdowns and our list, Imran, you do the Jock and Nerd over there, man. You were just telling me that actually right before this, you recorded your favorite comic book movies of the last decade. What's MCU mean to you, man? I mean, was coming up with this list and narrowing it down to five, was this like right away for you, or was this pretty excruciating?
This was like, I'm in ranking mode. Doing the top five of the decade was really hard. This is, it's just as hard because, from where they were to where they are now, there's something in it for everyone. You know, there's clearly different phases. You see, you know, once comedy is introduced, you see the movies change a little bit, but man, what a decade, the decade where, you know, thanks to the MCU, like nerd culture becomes monoculture, becomes mainstream culture. I'd never imagined to be living in a world where people know who Thanos is.
Right.
Like that just still blows my mind. And so props for them to like, and like, you know, people know who Star-Lord is. Like obscure characters are huge. They've done an amazing amazing job and set the blueprint for this.
Right. I agree, man. How about you, Sean? What did you think when you were compiling your list here? You told me you were doing a little research earlier today.
I was. I actually did a little bit of rewatching earlier today just to kind of confirm some of my rankings. I kind of agonized over what should be in number five because my top four were pretty much set. And the fifth one, I could have put one of like nine movies in there. So I hope I got it right. But I guess no one's going to tell me I got it wrong anyway. But
well, I will say on this panel, I feel like I would probably be the closest. I would be closer on the line of like casual fan, where I feel like where I feel like you guys would be closer to the super fan. You know, like if there was a spectrum and there was a super fan on one end and a casual fan on the other end, I would be leaning a little bit more that way. I love it. I was telling Sean Imran when him and I got together about a month ago on that program I was telling you about. I was telling him that I'd kind of grown weary a little bit of the MCU the last, like, I don't know, 3 to 4 years. It's not that I don't like it. I felt like it was like overload, you know, because I think you and I are similar age. But growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, having a superhero or a comic book movie was just like an event, man. That was like every five years you got one, you know. And now it's like you wake up and there's one coming out, you know.
I see what you're saying. And, you know, at times they seem to start to get formulaic.
Right.
They kind of ended this thing and they're promising that they're going to change things. But I think your perspective is also really important as the casual viewer, because this has created a lot of people who have checked out the comics because of these movies,
right,
and come into this world. And they pretty much made casual viewers into like comic book readers following. This is just one long TV show, really.
Yeah, right.
It's a really expensive season of a TV show. Now, I will say, you know, I think what you said also has happened to Star Wars, but there's a reason I think the Marvel can withstand this onslaught, because they have just a wider place to go with their characters.
That's true. And they have, you know, and yeah, that's true.
They're going to give us 4 movies a year starting in 2021. That's 12 movies in 3 years.
Yeah. I love it.
You think there was a lot before?
I love it. Bring it on.
Yeah. I'm like, give me more, because they can do that. And unfortunately, Star Wars tried to do the same thing, which I think is Star Wars is special when there's space. Like, you can't rush the stuff.
Yeah.
Give it some time.
Right.
And they don't have as much places to go.
Well, I think the other part of that is, and we'll get into this as we get into more of our lists, I'm sure, but the through line. I mean, it was evident from very early on in the process. If you go back and rewatch all these movies, they knew where they were going, and the beats were all there. They hit them all along the way. You know, Star Wars, just in this last trilogy, it was obvious they didn't know where they were going from the beginning. So
I was going to say, are you getting to something there, Sean? I thought you were coming around to that.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but you know,
right.
It's just the difference is pretty stark in that, just in that respect.
Hey, I mean, look, I see what you did there.
Speaking of Stark, look at how it starts with, you know, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., someone nobody wanted to touch, and the director, the guy who did Elf, and Kevin Feige, really scrounging for every dollar he could for this independent movie studio and independent movie called Iron Man.
Yeah.
And from where it just ended, even in Spider-Man Far From Home, it's still all about Tony Stark's presence.
Yeah, no, I feel it, man. Well, you know, it's all entertaining to me. I just wanted to point out for anybody that may have tuned in that's not a regular listener to the show that I love all of it. And anytime one of them comes out, I'm going to see it in the theater. I mean, let's be honest, especially now that I have a young son and, you know, he's all over that stuff too. So you just mentioned Star Wars. We just saw that one in the theater. I mean, anytime any of this big blockbuster kind of like franchise stuff comes out in the MCU or beyond, I'm going to see it. And I'm entertained by it 99.9% of the time. I just thought it was important to point out that I'm not a super fan where I know everybody's third cousin and who married this person and what, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I do know what entertains me, and that's why I settled on the five that I settled on. So if you guys are ready to get started, I'm going to let Imran go first, the super fan, right?
All right.
I mean, you're a super fan. What's your number five MCU movie, man?
Number five, I'm starting with, funnily enough, the movie I just mentioned, the very first MCU movie, Iron Man.
All right.
And I think it's an important movie. It still holds up. It kind of sets the tone, gets the balance, and just like kind of was a sleeper hit at the beginning. But it still holds up, man, all these years later.
Is it better to be feared or respected? And I say, is it too much to ask for both? With that in mind, I humbly present the crown jewel of Stark Industries' Freedom Line. It's the first missile system to incorporate our proprietary repulsor technology. They say the best weapon is one you never have to fire. I respectfully disagree. I prefer the weapon you only have to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far. Find an excuse to let one of these off the chain, and I personally guarantee you the bad guys won't even want to come out of their caves.
And this is way before any Disney influence, so they can be a little bit riskier. You know, if you remember early on, Tony Stark, there was like stripper poles and like all this stuff, and they've gotten rid of all that stuff. Disney just wiped that clean. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But that's my number five, Iron Man.
I love it. There's crossover with me. It's coming up later on my list. Sean, did you want to add anything to Iron Man there?
No, I'm just with Imran on everything you said there. It still holds up. It's the original. It's still awesome.
Yeah, I love it, man. And like you said, RDJ, right? I mean, we'll probably get into it a little bit as the evening goes on. But I mean, he's the patriarch of this franchise, right? Or is it him or is it Chris Evans? What are we saying?
I mean, no, I think absolutely. Yeah. It's Downey Jr. built this whole thing. They built it on his shoulders.
Yep, yeah, I gotta say so too. Okay, good pick, man. Iron Man is your number five. Which, Sean, you're up next, man. What's your number five MCU film?
Yeah, so I kind of realized after I made my list, just as a preface, I kind of looked around for some other lists just to see how mine compared. And I did not realize how how different lists are on the other end of the spectrum from, you know, these lists go all over the place. So mine might be a little bit polarizing. On number five, I went with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Gamora, surgically modified and trained as a living weapon. The adopted daughter of the mad Titan Thanos. Recently, Thanos lent her and her sister Nebula out to Ronin, which leads us to believe that Thanos and Ronin are working together. Subject 89P13 calls itself Rocket, the result of illegal genetic and cybernetic experiments on a lower life form.
What the hell?
They call it Groot, a humanoid plant that's been traveling recently as 89P13's personal houseplant slash muscle. Peter Jason Quill from Terra, raised from youth by a band of mercenaries called the Ravagers, led by Yondu Udonta.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know how this machine worked. What a bunch of a-holes.
This is a crew that I never, and I grew up with comic books. I collected comics as a kid, and I actually still do a little bit now to a lesser extent, but this is a group I never followed. I didn't know much about them. I kind of knew their names, and that was about it. But you kind of fall in love, or I did, with this whole cast right off the bat. You know, Chris Pratt obviously is very charming. You got Rocket and Groot, which, I mean, how are a CGI raccoon and a tree going to have such great chemistry? You know, it's fantastic. Right. And then you got Dave Bautista coming out of nowhere with Drax the Destroyer, who is hilarious, and just, you know, they fit so well together. The chemistry is great. The casting is fantastic. It told a great story. The movie has heart, and I just loved it.
I do too. And more crossover with me. You guys are naming all
nice
all my movies. Well, no. But that's okay. That's okay. What do you, Imran, what do you think about Guardians, man?
Oh, it's a solid, definitely top tier. It's not on my list, but it deserves to be in top tier. I mean, James Gunn, his direction, his balance of humor and heart and the colors.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these movies are color graded and they seem to like undersaturate them or for some reason. And like, it just gets muddy. The Guardians movies, along with like Thor Ragnarok, are super colorful.
Right.
And again, you're right. I've been reading comic books since I was 12. I've never read a Guardians of the Galaxy comic book. And they sold me on a tree that says three words and a talking record. And Chris Pratt, like, perfectly cast. The soundtrack, the fact that James Gunn's fingerprints are all over it.
Yeah.
Perfectly balanced movie. Absolutely top. One of the tops.
Well, it's coming up on my list, too. My number five, however, is the pick that I was wondering you guys might have something to say.
Oh, it's going to be good.
And when I say you guys, I also mean people out there listening that are about to shake their fist at their car stereo.
You better not say Thor the Dark World.
No.
I'm going to turn this off.
Well, I guess it could have been worse. I don't know.
That would be the one right there.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. Let me set it up first real quick. Just a real brief setup. Nothing about the movie specifically. But I was just mentioning in our open how I had grown a little weary of the MCU, right? And I would say the last 2 to 3 years or so, I mean, they were good movies. I was entertained by them, but I wasn't like... It wasn't like an emotional, like, going out to the theater immediately type thing like it used to be when we were talking about Iron Man and stuff like that. So when this movie came along, it was kind of like that, where I was just kind of like, all right, let's go check it out. It's a blockbuster. Everybody's going to see it. It's a Marvel movie. Let's check it out. I took my son to see it, which might have something to do with it, actually, because I got to share it with him. It was his first MCU theatrical experience, so that may have something to do with it. But it was this year's Captain Marvel is my number five.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Now, I know this is divisive before you guys get too crazy here. So I love Brie Larson. She is an absolute just queen, treasure. Everything she's been in, I think she's awesome. And this is no exception. I'm actually compiling a list for a future episode for badass movie women. And I'm pretty sure she's going to, at a minimum, be in my top 10. I loved her in this movie. And this was a character. It's funny that you guys were saying this about Guardians, actually. But this was a character that I didn't know anything about. I didn't really. Okay. I mean, I knew of her and I knew of the character, but I didn't know anything about her powers and how she got them. And just a throwback to the 90s grunge stuff that was in there, you know, when she comes into the Blockbuster Video and she ends up wearing the Nine Inch Nails t-shirt through half the movie. And I just really connected with all that stuff. Imran, you and I have talked about 90s grunge on this show before.
Yeah.
So I just love that era. I love the throwback. I love kind of the de-aging that of Sam Jackson. I thought they did it a little bit better there than they did with the recent Scorsese, in my opinion.
Still had, you know, you can de-age the face, the body not so much.
Exactly, right. The T-Rex beatdown or whatever that was in The Irishman. But anyway, I know it's going to be a little bit divisive, but I felt good seeing it, man. It surprised me because I was weary at the time going out to the theater to see it. And then seeing it kind of reinvigorated me a little bit. I was like, man, that was badass. Like, I really like that. And I think I am biased because of my love for Brie Larson, but also because it was the first MCU film that my son saw on the big screen. So that had a little bit of a personal connection for me. But yeah, Captain Marvel is my number 5. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Captain Marvel is not that high for me. It was not really a contender for my list, but I am with you on Brie Larson, absolutely. And the 90s nostalgia as well. I think I am about the same age as you guys, and that definitely struck a nerve with me. The movie for me was just kind of average, but, you know, I'm down with it.
Imran, what do you think? You can give it to me, man. We go way back. Go ahead.
Look, this also would be nowhere near my top 5. I'll be honest. Like, when Disney Plus came out, and we got it right away. I started to rewatch Captain Marvel. It was like the most recent movie they had on there. And man, I had trouble just caring about the movie on second watch. All the stuff you said, though, is great. But I think Brie Larson's fantastic. I think she's better in Infinity War. I just feel like the direction a little bit, the fight scenes were a little close and choppy. Mm-hmm. It was a little, you know, there's a huge reveal at the end with Nick Fury, which is going to mean a lot. But it was just okay. Here's the beauty, though, of this MCU. Here's what's the most amazing thing. 23 movies, and there really isn't a bomb. There isn't a clunker.
Right, yeah, right.
Even the bad ones are not horrible. They're still better than a lot of things. So, like, for me, this movie is complete, like, middle tier.
I get it. I think, you know, and I think a lot of people that follow the MCU feel that way. So I knew I was going to be in the minority. But it's really just the personal connections that I mentioned to you guys is why I had to put it on here.
That makes sense. And, like, from that perspective, it's super interesting that you connected because of your son, which is adorable. Yeah.
I think theater experience, like you mentioned, is a huge part of especially movies like this.
Yes.
And I will definitely touch on that later on my list.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, let's keep rolling, guys. Imran, you're up next, man. What's your number 4? Captain Marvel, right?
It's not Captain Marvel. It is The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton. Oh, no, nice. It's not. I'm kidding. No,
wow.
One you don't pick. No. My number 4 is Avengers from 2012.
Okay, good one.
The fucking movie that if this movie bombed, if this didn't work, none of this shit happens.
Right.
And the way they built up to this made it legit. I remember how huge it was when it came out, and just that shot of all of them and the camera spins is like one of them, one of the most memorable things of all the movies of the past decade from the MCU. I think if you watch it now, it mostly holds up, but for what it did, that you said that this is a thing. We can bring all these characters together and it not overstuff. Joss Whedon nails it with his balance of humor and heart and action. And there's just a lot of, it's just like, if that didn't work, and it was, I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Like, several times in these movies that we'll talk about, I'll be like, I can't believe I'm seeing this on the screen.
Right. No, it was definitely a culmination moment, much like what happens years later in Endgame, too. This one's right outside my top 5. It was in my honorable mentions. Okay. What do you think about this one, Sean? You like this one?
Yeah, I do. It's same for me. It didn't make my top 5, but it was one of the 9 or 10 that I could have put in that 5th spot, you know? And it's like you said, if this first culmination didn't work, then, you know, we don't get Infinity War Endgame. So, yeah, it's, great choice.
Yeah, seeing all the heroes on screen at the same time, and particularly that one shot that you were talking about, Imran, where the camera's panning around all of them there in the street.
Yeah.
It's just tremendous, man. And you got to imagine, you know, I know we're older guys, but you got to imagine seeing that through the eyes of, like, young kids, too, because, you know.
Oh, my God, if you're a kid. Yeah. But even, I was still a kid. Like you said, when we grew up, we had everything. We didn't have much. And what we had was crap,
yes,
but we loved it. And right, this was finally like somebody got this right.
Yeah.
Somebody we had, nailed it.
We had Lou Ferrigno and we liked it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had Lou Ferrigno, we had Linda Carter, we had Adam West.
Absolutely, man. I can't. I don't have the year on it, but I mean, I remember, you know, I can still remember vividly my dad showing me Superman 2, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For Reeve.
Yep.
Just the feeling, just those feelings, you know, and seeing that on, and the scale that it's at today, man. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be, of course, I'm 44 years old, so I don't know, but I can imagine seeing it as a 10 or 12 year old would be pretty amazing. So The Avengers is Imran's number four from 2012, I think.
Yep.
I believe.
Yep. 2012.
All right, Sean, you're up, man. What's your number four?
Yeah. My number four is actually going to touch on a point that Imran made earlier about Guardians with the colors. And this was Thor Ragnarok is my number four. I love how this movie looks. Taika Waititi, I think, did a tremendous job with just the visual aspect of this movie. It's fantastic to look at. And plus, I am a huge Hulk fan, and the Hulk has not gotten great treatment in his own movies, unfortunately. But like in The Avengers, I think that was the first time that we really saw that it is possible to treat the Hulk well. Thor in Ragnarok, the Hulk got a great big part and was treated well there. And it was kind of adjacent, or at least it was a kind of an abbreviated version of one of my favorite storylines from the comics, which was Planet Hulk. Then you got Chris Hemsworth really getting to flex and kind of choose some scenery in that movie. Mm-hmm. I thought the interplay between him and Mark Ruffalo and the Hulk was just fantastic.
Yes, we're getting us out of here. It's terrible. Awful place. You can love Asgard. It's big, it's golden, shiny.
Hulkster.
No. My people need me to get back to Asgard. We must prevent Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
The prophesied death of my homeworld. The end of days. It's the end of everything. If you help me get back to Asgard, I can help you get back to Earth.
Huh? Earth ain't Hulk.
Earth loves Hulk. They love you. You're one of the Avengers, one of the team, one of our friends. This is what friends do. They support each other.
You're Banner's friend.
I'm not Banner's friend. I prefer you.
Banner's friend.
I don't even like Banner. I'm into numbers and science and stuff.
Dog go, Hulkster.
Fine. Stay here. Stupid place. It's hideous, by the way. The red, the white. Just pick a color. Ridiculous.
Smash you.
She didn't smash anything. I won that fight.
I smashed you.
Yeah, sure.
Baby arms.
What?
Baby!
Moron. Big child.
Don't go.
I am going.
Jeff Goldblum being crazy. All this kind of stuff. I loved everything about Ragnarok.
Me too, man. Did you cheat off my test, Sean?
Do you have that on your list?
Well, I knew from that last show that we did that we have similar tastes, so I was interested
true.
To see
that's
how this
true.
Would go.
Yeah, this one's coming up later on my list. Imran, you want to say anything about Ragnarok, buddy?
Yeah, this is a great pick. It just misses my list, but probably my favorite version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
Between, you know, the not smart, super angry, and then the Ruffalo Hulk Endgame was great, but he got smaller and he didn't really do anything. And I'm like, what happened to the Hulk? This Hulk is great. He's just a little bit smart, but Waititi's sense of humor is great. The Jack Kirby influence in the set design was phenomenal. And this movie, they figured out what to do with Thor. You know, in the first one, he's like so serious, doesn't really work. The second one is just a little goofy, and I don't know what's going on. And then you see him in, you see the Russo brothers kind of polish him more. And then finally, you let Chris Hemsworth, you know, double down on his comedy skills, that he's really funny.
He is.
But, you know, the only thing that draws back for this movie, the only critique I have is that sometimes it relies too much on humor and it gets too slapsticky. Like, huge things happen in this movie. Yeah. Asgard destroyed. Yeah. The Mjolnir destroyed. Odin dies. And then there's like a joke immediately following all of those moments, kind of undercutting the thing. I mean, he throws a rubber ball against the window and it hits him in the head like it's a goddamn Three Stooges cartoon. So, but it's funny. I love, and you guys know the reason the Hulk problem with Universal is they'll never be able to make a solo Hulk movie. They can use him in their movies.
Is that what it is?
I didn't know that.
Some of the rights still belong to Universal. So they're going to tell. So, but I like how they fit in like the World War Hulk, Planet Hulk storyline. And I think if they could just keep telling his story, and then we got to see him evolve a little bit. But
I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the minority here, but I mean, I would love to see just like a practical Hulk. Like you mentioned Ferrigno earlier from like the 80s.
Yeah, like an actual person.
Yeah, just like a dude. Like, I mean, I don't.
Where do you
know who could do it, but I would love that.
You get the dude who played the Mountain.
There
on
you
Game
go.
Of Thrones. Oh yeah, for yeah. Bjornsson.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Dip him in green and go for it, man. You know, I don't know.
I mean, they're making a She-Hulk TV yep. show, and I was like, man, should they hire a bodybuilder? You know, it's gonna be CGI, but She-Hulk. That you see her face, like she's She-Hulk and she acts and she talks.
Yeah, She-Hulk, you could definitely do a person with She-Hulk, I feel like.
You could almost do a person, but I think that would be great. I'm with you, Gerald.
Yeah, like, I'd love to
give
see
me
that.
Give me a Lou Ferrigno Hulk again. It would be fantastic.
I'd love to see that. Well, my number four has been mentioned already, so we can just touch on it briefly, but it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Is my number four. I love this movie because it's fun, you know, and I think hearing Imran spiel just now, I've got a run on kind of fun movies here coming up that are just kind of like, you know, they're obviously superhero action films, but they're borderline comedy just because they have so many like funny moments and the incorporation of the great soundtrack in this movie. And you already mentioned James Gunn and the way he kind of just, I think it's just awesome direction in this film. So I love this one. The sequel, I was lukewarm on the sequel. I mean, it wasn't bad, but this movie I just had a blast with this film. Again, just like both of you guys said, didn't know jack shit about these characters when I saw it. And for that to be the case and me not really have any backstory and still enjoy it as much as I did, much like my Captain Marvel pick, it stuck with me and it holds up. I showed this one to my son this year too for the first time, you know, on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, on Blu-ray, it's great.
It's a fun ride. No, they really know how to capture these characters and make them work. I love how you pick the fun movies because there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
In the MCU, there's a series of fun movies. There's more like serious, mature movies. There's more action movies.
And Guardians of the Galaxy is cool because, you know, you guys were talking about Star Wars earlier. It's like the Star Wars connection kind of because it's it's like superheroes meet Star Wars kind of in the same movie. I don't know.
Plus, if you think about it, he had the benefit of working outside the storytelling that was going on in the MCU movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
It was in space. It was in the past. He didn't have to worry about anything. And I just think all that just makes that movie super strong and very good.
I love it. Love that soundtrack to this day. I'll still bump that. Absolutely. All right. So let's see, guys. We're rolling along here. Everybody's mentioned mine. So no climax when it gets to me, but whatever. You're number three, Imran. What do you got, buddy?
Number three is going to be Captain America Civil War, directed by the Russo brothers. And I will be talking a lot about the Russo brothers in these next picks because, for my money, the Russo brothers, paired with Marcus and McFeely, have given us the best versions of all of these characters in their movies.
Okay.
And Civil War, just the, you know, the first time you kind of see a big team battle, them testing, you know, they had the Avengers, there's five of them. Civil War, they're like, can we put 12 of these people in here? And they do. And then they're like, all right, let's try 35 people. And like, it's just amazing how it's fully balanced. The introduction of Spider-Man is probably my biggest geek moment, of the decades, that Spider-Man announced coming back to Marvel. And at the last second, and it works. He works him in so perfectly.
Wow, it's so weird how you run into people at the airport. Don't you think that's weird?
Definitely weird.
Hear me out, Tony. That doctor, the psychiatrist, he's behind all of this.
Captain.
Your Highness.
Anyway, Ross gave me 36 hours to bring you in. That was 24 hours ago. Can you help a brother out?
You're after the wrong guy.
Your judgment is askew. Your old war buddy killed innocent people yesterday.
And there are five more super soldiers just like him. I can't let the doctor find him first, Tony. I can't.
Steve, you know what's about to happen. Do you really want to punch your way out of this one?
All right. I've run out of patience. Underoos! Nice job, kid.
Thanks. Well, I could have stuck the landing a little better. It's just a new suit. Wait, it's nothing. Mr. Stark, it's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't really need to start a conversation.
Okay. Captain, big fan of Spider-Man?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Just...
Hey, everyone.
Good job.
And the introduction of Black Panther, some of my favorite Black Panther stuff. And then just the personal conflict between Steve and Tony and Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
It really gets you when you find out what happened, you know, what was going on.
Yeah.
And it's not like the comic book. I love how they use, like, Age of Ultron, Civil War, they use the names of these comic book runs, but they're completely their own version, and they're just as good. So the airport scene in Civil War is still one of just my standout superhero battles of all time.
I agree, man. It's a great scene, great movie. It's in my top 10. It would have been my honorable mentions. How do you feel about this one, Sean?
I love Civil War so much. I almost put it in my top five, if not for my number three here that I'm going to mention in a second. But yeah, I love everything about Civil War. Like you mentioned, the Spider-Man integration and the airport scene. Those are the two high points for me in that movie, but it's just tremendous. And just the way that it fits in with what comes after, it leads perfectly into Infinity War and everything that comes. It's just great filmmaking.
Were you guys Team Cap or Team Iron Man? What were you doing there?
Oh, that was a good question.
Remember when everybody was doing that? Everybody was picking sides.
That's right. I was on the side. You know what? I was kind of mad that Spider-Man was on Iron Man's side because I think I was on Captain.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, me too.
Because in the comics, Spidey worships Steve Rogers. Whenever he meets him, he like stumbles. He's nervous.
Oh,
like he's a big fanboy. And in that Civil War, Tony got him to turn. And once Peter realized, like, what am I doing? I'm on the other side of where my hero is.
Yeah,
right.
You know, he kind of flips.
Well, I was going to say, in the movies, though, what your description was kind of how he is with Tony in the movies, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they use that as kind of like an inspiration and just kind of switch the character.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, well, good pick, man. Sean, you're up, buddy. What's your number three?
Yeah, so the reason I left Civil War off is because I didn't want to have two Captain Americas in my top five, although I think that is probably the best series, those three Captain America movies in the MCU. But my number three is, and I know this is going to be on Gerald's list too, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Oh,
you do know that.
It's on my list.
You do know that. It's on yours as well?
Yeah, I have no problem putting two Captain America movies. I said, all of the Russo brothers movies need to be in the top two.
We can all talk about it now then, because it's on my list as well.
I have it too.
Go ahead, Sean. Why do you love it, man?
Yeah, Winter Soldier made a strong play for number one really on my list, but I love the top three so much. But Winter Soldier just being about Cap's inner journey, like figuring out what to do in this new present while it turns out his past is kind of still there. You know, it's got the great action. To me, maybe the best scene in the entirety of the MCU is the elevator fight.
It's so
fantastic. And you start to see Captain America having reservations, missing his old life, visiting the museum, seeing old Peggy Carter. It's got that great car chase scene leading into the Winter Soldier's first appearance. The first fight scene between Cap and Winter Soldier was so great.
That's amazing.
Robert Redford being a great villain. And I don't know if I missed it on the first viewing or if I just forgot somehow, but Ezekiel 25:17 being on Nick Fury's tombstone was just a tremendous touch.
I didn't know that until you just told me.
Yeah, it was there.
Wow, that is awesome. Holy callback. I like that.
That's great.
I might have to bump this up a spot now. I don't know. But I didn't know that. Did you know that, Imran? I didn't.
I may have known that, but I forgot. But that's a great. And I will lay down a furious anger.
Hell yeah. If he'd only worn an eye patch in Pulp Fiction,
right?
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be great.
I love this one. This is coming up on my list. It's basically my number two. So the only thing I really wanted to add is that I really, really, and I know it's not, well, I guess she is kind of a central character. I really like Black Widow in this one.
Yes.
I love her in this movie.
She's great.
Man.
Yeah.
I feel like they really let ScarJo kind of like be quippy and be at the center of the action for the first time in this movie. Of course, we saw it a little bit more as the series went on. But even in that opening scene when she kind of pulls up in the Ferrari or whatever it was, and she's like, can you tell me where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil. You know, she's picking up Captain America for giving him a ride or whatever.
All right, Sam. Duty calls. Thanks for the run, if that's what you want to call running.
Oh, that's how it is?
Oh, that's how it is.
Okay. Anytime you want to stop by the VA, make me look awesome in front of the girl at the front desk, just let me know.
I'll keep it in mind.
Hey, fellas. Either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
It's hilarious.
How you doing?
Hey.
Can't run everywhere.
No, you can't.
I mean, I don't know. I really, really enjoyed her. I hope they do her justice in her Solo movie that's coming out this year. The trailer's got me a little concerned, but I do love that character. Yeah, I mean, and I do love Scarlett Johansson, so
that movie needs to be big. It's got, you know, it's a little, it seems like it's a little too late, but where they're placing it is really interesting, like after Civil War.
Yeah, but I love Winter Soldier. But go ahead, Imran, you want to talk about Winter Soldier real quick?
Winter Soldier was also my number two. All right. fighting for number one, but this is the moment where MCU proved that this is a comic book movie, but it's also a political espionage thriller, you know, like the connections to 70s and 80s action movies, the way they film the action. This is the Russo brothers' first movie. They were just doing TV, Community, and they pulled this thing together. It's like the most mature of them all. It still holds up. The opening scene on the ship with George St. Pierre, the Leaper, like that could have been really silly. Like that's a silly character, Baltrock the Leaper, but it's so dope the way he's throwing the shield and catching it and running across the fight scene is great. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do these guys know how to film this action so well? Yeah. You were just filming, you know, Joel McHale in a two camera set.
I also,
how do you know how to
I also
do this?
Love how they got Danny Pudi to be in it too. From
oh yeah, that's right. As a little Community action. No, it still stands as one of the crowning achievements of this. And the Captain America trilogy is like all three movies are amazing. Yeah. Like the fact that all three of them are solid.
Well, that's your two. So before you give your two, Sean, I don't want to forget to tell people my three. So I'll just basically, can you show me your list? I'll just read off yours. But my. My number three is Thor Ragnarok. So,
okay.
Again, another fun one, right? Another kind of, I don't want to use the term slapstick because it's still a Marvel movie, but it does have those moments like Imran was mentioning before. And I love Kate Blanchett.
She was great. Ella is a great villain. I hope we see her again.
Yeah, so good.
I don't think she died. She disappeared. You didn't see a body. Right. It's just all kind of, she's still around.
She'll pop back up. And I would love to see more of, especially Blanchett playing that character. We got introduced to Tessa Thompson here. Yep. I love her.
Who's also great in everything.
This is Valkyrie is amazing. You mentioned Jeff Goldblum. I mean, anytime he's in anything, it improves it by, you know, it gets an extra 10% on Rotten Tomatoes just because he's in it, you know. So,
I mean, Hiddleston as Loki is fantastic in this too. Yeah. It's a great Loki movie.
So it's awesome, man. It's just got. I'm mentioning the cast because that was what really kind of drove it, and the comedy really. It was a buddy cop movie, kind of.
Between
Hulk and Thor, and you know, I was kind of lukewarm on Thor. I wasn't really a big fan of his until I saw this movie, and I was like, oh, okay, I kind of like this dude. And
I've heard that from a lot of people.
You know, you were mentioning the comedy. And Hemsworth is hilarious, bro.
He is.
Yeah.
Like, have you guys ever seen him on SNL? When he does Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So funny. And
he was funny in the Ghostbusters movie. I just watched Men in Black International, which is whatever. But they're both really good. I mean, they're good at what they do.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson is really good in that movie. Like, she's just good at everything.
Hell yeah. I love her. And we got to kind of meet her, at least in the MCU here. And I've kind of followed her career since, and I think she's great. And I just love this movie. The colors, the direction that you guys are already talking about. Jojo Rabbit was awesome this year, same filmmaker. Yeah. And, you know, it's just fun, man. It's just a lot of fun. So the first three movies on my list are all just like
fun movies.
Good time, fun, kind of silly, but you're still entertained, and they're still MCU films. So Ragnarok's my number three. We got a little crossover there, but we knew that was going to happen, Sean. So what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
and then Imran gave his number two, which was Winter Soldier.
Correct.
Which leads us to Sean's number two. What was your runner-up, buddy?
Yeah, my number two is where the fun stops, and that is with Infinity War. So Infinity War, it was about Thanos. It was a Thanos movie, right? It's a great performance by Josh Brolin. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, people talk about how the detractors of the MCU, if you will, talk about how it's all CGI and all this kind of stuff. But this is great voice acting by Josh Brolin. And not to mention, I imagine they had some face stuff, too. I don't know. But just his voice acting there was tremendous.
Titan was like most planets. Too many mouths, not enough to go around. And when we faced extinction, I offered a solution.
Genocide.
But random, dispassionate, fair to rich and poor alike. They called me a madman. And what I predicted came to pass. With all six stones, I could simply snap my fingers. They would all cease to exist, and I call that mercy.
And then what?
I finally rest and watch the sunrise on a grateful universe. The hardest choices require the strongest wills.
You know, they had those little beats in there, like Thor meeting the Guardians of the Galaxy, and their interplay was just tremendous. We don't forget about Civil War. You know, it continues to reverberate. The wounds haven't healed between Cap and Iron Man. You've got Doctor Strange being arrogant against Iron Man being arrogant, and that was great. You get the Spider-Man-Iron Man interaction, which is tremendous. And you get just that feeling at the end. You know, this was the first movie theater experience for my second oldest son, who was, I believe, 10 or 11 at the time. I think he was 11. And just walking out, and he kind of had the background in comics of, like, I have the Marvel Encyclopedia, and he had read through that as a younger kid, you know. And so he kind of knew who everybody was, even though he hadn't been following, you know. We did a big rewatch marathon leading up to the Infinity War. And that's so awesome. So he kind of knew who everybody was. And walking out of that theater, just his face, you know,
right.
It's just like, it was just kind of numb, you know, and watching the other kids walk out of there, everybody just kind of like, they lost. What is this? How is this possible? You know, right. And I loved the feel of it. I loved how they made this incredible villain feel almost sympathetic, you know. I just thought that it was a great job, and this was a storyline that I actually did follow as a kid. I have the original Infinity Gauntlet series, and you know, the way that they kind of played off of that, but also made it a little bit different, his motivations and things like that. I loved it. Thought it was fantastic, and you know, and that's awesome. My number two.
How old was your kid when he saw it?
He was 11. My second one was
11-year-old.
My oldest was 13. Yep.
So what I was talking about earlier, man, I can only imagine. You know, I wish I could. Yeah. See it through.
These kids don't know how good they have it. They're growing up with
really
this shit.
Don't.
Are you kidding me?
That's what I. Jesus. It's crazy, man. I mean, they really don't. We had Christopher Reeve and Lou Ferrigno. I love both, you know, but I mean, it is what it is. So,
yeah.
All right. So
I
good.
Mean, I was happy with Michael Keaton Batman.
That's
that was
right.
Very exciting.
Thrilled. Yeah. Thrilled with Michael Keaton Batman.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So, my runner up, guys, is actually, can you believe that this is a film that has been mentioned? Can you guys believe that?
It's hard to imagine, really.
You don't say.
Yeah. So, Winter Soldier is my runner-up.
Oh, nice. Yes.
So, I love this movie, and I already kind of talked a little bit about why I love it. But that's my runner-up. I mean, I feel like this is the best Captain America movie, obviously, because my number one, spoiler alert, is not a Captain America film. But I just love, you know, I love Black Widow in this movie, like I already talked about. I love that we kind of get to see the beginnings of the Falcon in this movie. You guys already mentioned the amazing action sequences that take place in this film. This is the first battle with the Winter Soldier in this film. Just, I mean, forget about it. I mean, it's up there. You were talking about the runway scene in Civil War. For me, this is up there with that. I mean, they're on par with each other. But I just love the Winter Soldier. It's my favorite Cap movie, which is why it's my runner-up. It's my number two.
Nice.
So we had triple crossover on that one, right?
Yeah.
That's my number two,
right.
Also. Yeah.
That's right. All right. So we're up to our number ones now, guys. Let's do it. Rimron.
Yeah.
What's your number one? I want to know if, well, I think, well, maybe I know. Go ahead. I think I know.
Well, I kind of cheated. It's a tie.
Oh, what?
I'm tying.
Top six?
I see where this is going.
And Endgame.
It's just,
there's no way to just
you
pick
can't
five.
Pick just one?
No, you can't have one without the other.
Oh,
is my argument.
Right.
I almost did that. I almost did it.
It's one long story.
All right.
Really?
So it's like a Kill Bill 1 and 2 situation.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have both. One movie's not going to make sense without the other. I know it's a little bit cheating, but I just, this culmination of this journey, the fact that they pulled this off in 11 years, never in my wildest dreams would I imagine I'd be watching Spider-Man holding an Infinity Gauntlet, swinging on the Mjolnir through a fucking battle. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, there was a moment in Endgame when, you know, when the battle starts and they're running at each other, I fully expected it to just cut away to black. I was like, there's no way they're showing me this. They're just going to cut to the end. This is going to be some bullshit. And then they show me the whole, this battle blew me away.
Right.
Sean was talking about the theater experience. Both of these movies, probably the best theater experience I've had in a while. That, you know, when Thor lands with Rocket in Wakanda.
Yeah.
When Cap catches the fucking Mjolnir. Holy shit, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, I am just too, like, seriously.
The whole crowd just erupts and you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. So the fact that they were able to put 45 of these dudes in a movie And it worked. Now, what I think it's interesting from a I want to ask you, Gerald.
Yes.
At the end of Infinity War, looking around, the shock was amazing that they were ballsy enough to kill this. But if you were, you know, if you're a geek, if you're a nerd like me, you know that they're not dead. Yeah. These people are not dead. They're going to come back.
Right.
But it still worked. And I felt like the casual audience looking around, like they thought they were dead, and they were just like just crestfallen.
Well,
you could feel the loss.
I will tell you, if you're asking how I felt when I saw it, I will tell you that first of all, I guess I should say up front, I prefer Infinity War to Endgame.
Okay.
I liked Infinity War better. Now, I'm a dark dude, so I respond really well to villain stories, you know, and I thought Thanos is just, I mean, you guys already talked about his villainy, but I kind of knew. I'm like, there's no way Spider-Man's dead.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on, it's Spider-Man. And then to further solidify that, they released a trailer for Far From Home before Endgame came out.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, well, unless this is a prequel, then he's obviously not dead. So
it's a tricky situation for them. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, why was Endgame 3 hours, Emra? I mean, that kind of
was it too long?
I don't. In my opinion, I don't know. It felt a little, and also, and I know you guys weren't necessarily on board with my Captain Marvel pick earlier, but couldn't she have just like farted on him and ended the whole war?
She should have been able to wipe him up a little. I mean, she had him
right
in that fight at the end, and then he grabbed one of the stones and cheated.
Okay.
Is that what happened? Like, yeah, she almost had him. Scarlet, just like, and I loved in how Scarlet Witch almost had him also.
Right, yeah.
And he uses the last resorts. But okay, well, let me ask you this second question. That's a fake out death. But when Tony Stark death actually happens, like this journey from this character, like you get emotional. I saw people with real tears, and they, for them, the balls for them to kill their two cash cows in terms of Cap retiring and killing Iron Man, and they'll probably come back in some fashion, but still so well earned, so well played. And the fact that Endgame, it calls back to every single movie that came before it.
Mm-hmm.
All 22 movies ties up loose ends. I was like, that is insane that they were able to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't cry when Iron Man died, but I did feel the emotion, and I felt the end of that character, much like a similar feeling I had with Wolverine and Logan. So I did feel those same types of feelings. It was a very emotional kind of send off, if you will. And I mean, I love RDJ too, so I do have a connection to him just because I've loved him since the 80s. So I do see the emotion, and if I look over and see people crying during that, I'm not going to be surprised by it. So I think there's definitely validity to all that, for sure. Sean, what do you think, man? You mentioned Infinity War 2.
Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and give your number one, or do you want to give a little commentary on Endgame real quick?
I mean, I can do both because my number one is Endgame, so.
There you go. Well, thank you for not cheating. Two-piece on a podcast, top six countdown over.
I'm a cheater.
It did cross my mind, I won't lie. I did think about it. But I got to echo everything that Emron said. I mean, the theater experience, I saw this with my two oldest and my wife, the first showing that was available here, we went and saw it, and you know, that's the crowd that you want to see these kind of movies with, if you can pull it off, because it was unbelievable. It's like he said, when Cap got Mjolnir and just the crowd erupts, and then he starts fighting him and the lightning comes out, and he's you know, he's whipping Thanos and everything, and that was just tremendous. And then you've got, I mean, just the nods to everything that came before. You got the Cap versus Cap fight. You got you got the elevator scene where Cap says Hail Hydra. It was tremendous. You got Fat Thor. I mean, come on. There's Fat Thor.
Mm.
Everybody loves Fat Thor. Lebowski Thor.
Yeah,
it was tremendous.
We've all been there.
Right? I'm kind of there right now. You've got the Smart Hulk. I'm a big fan of the old Peter David run from the 90s with the Hulk. So, you know, that's when that character was introduced then, and I really dug how they kind of integrated him
in. Was that Joe Fix-It Hulk or
Fix-It
Professor Hulk?
That was Professor Hulk. Fix-It was the Grey Hulk that worked in Vegas.
That was the Grey Hulk. Yeah. I like the Grey Hulk.
Oh, yeah. He's great. And the, you know, just the way they were, when they were figuring out the time travel, you know, bringing Ant-Man back as an old man and as a baby, you know, the little touches like that, the Gamora and Quill reunion where she kicks him in the nuts. That was great. I love you 3000. Come on. I mean,
it's,
there's so much there. And yeah, it was long. It was 3 hours,
But what do you cut? I mean, I don't know what you cut out of it.
It could have been long. You're gonna give me a 4 hour.
You'd still be watching it. You'd be fine.
Show me all that. I will say there's a couple of little contrived things.
Sure.
Yes, it's not a perfect movie in terms of that rat just had to be to press the button. And then at the end, the fucking van survives everything.
Right.
Like it doesn't get blown up. Really?
Yeah. There are definitely a couple of things like that. But on the whole, I mean, this should be impossible to do.
Yes,
it should be impossible.
Unprecedented.
It's 23 movies over the course of 10 years, and it's the biggest movie in the world. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like that's
highest grossing movie.
The highest grossing of all time. Yeah.
They just updated the Chinese box office like this week, adding $3 million, and it is now the only movie to ever make $2.8 billion.
By the way, this is a sidebar. I can't believe Avatar made that much money.
Seriously,
Avatar $2.79, and so adjusted for inflation, that's a lot more.
It was the 3D that did that though. That's surcharges.
Yeah, right. The glasses.
That's right.
Well, Endgame's your number one, and it's also Imran's number one. Well, part of his number one.
I'm an ass.
No, it's okay. I mean, I can respond to the Kill Bill argument because I have that argument frequently with friends and with people on the show because
you need both.
I do feel like you need it's a whole thing, but you know, I get it. So, I mean, I've already said that I prefer Infinity War to Endgame, but I obviously see the merits in both. And Endgame is just it's the end. I mean, it's the send off from, like you guys already said, kind of an impossible thing that if they had said what I'm about to say, because my number one is from 2008's Iron Man.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's solid,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally.
It's my number one. So, you know, if they said that back in 08, which I'm assuming they did, people were looking at him in the boardroom going, you're out of your fucking mind. Like, there's no way we could do this. And they did it. And we just saw Endgame this year. So, you know, with Iron Man for me, I mean, it holds up. I mean, I watched it again this year and it's 12 years old. I mean, I love, absolutely, and I've already mentioned this on the show tonight, but I absolutely love Robert Downey Jr. One of my favorite actors in the MCU, yes, but just in general. I've followed him all the way back to the 80s, movies like Less Than Zero, and there's this really cheesy movie called Tough Turf with James Spader that I loved. And
I mean, he was good in the buddy comedies. Yeah. What was that one with the helicopter or the plane? Wasn't that Air America with Mel Gibson? Was he in that?
Was he in Air America? I think that's what you're talking about. But yes, I think he was. I love him, though. But Jeff Bridges in there, another actor that I love. Yeah. And this is the beginning, guys. I mean, this is what started literally everything that we've been talking about on the show tonight. And it was a very gritty, and it was just an origin story. It was very similar on the DC side to like a Batman Begins type movie.
Yeah.
Where it was him just kind of finding out what he was going to be and what his purpose was. And, you know, having him be a genius and be a billionaire and, you know, being able to kind of, you know, he had his own little Siri, if you will, making all this stuff for him. And he was able to just create all this stuff in front of us. It was really cool, man. It was like almost like a technological kind of thing, but it was also a superhero movie. The first half of the movie, he's lost in the desert, you know, and he's trying to find his way out. I love Happy, Jon Favreau, who, of course, is the filmmaker and behind it. I just love Iron Man. It's one of my favorites. It always has been. And it's very high on the rewatchability scale for me,
absolutely,
too. I watch it pretty much every year, every couple of years. So Iron Man.
You know, the ending of that is like, it's shocking that they did that, setting the tone that secret identities are not going to be a thing in this MCU. Yep. Like, I did not expect him to just go, I am Iron Man. And then the first post-credit scene happens, and you're like, oh, what are they doing here?
right.
That, remember when for so long you had to tell people, you got to wait till the end of the movie?
Yeah.
And now it's just, now people wait till the end of every movie hoping something's going to happen.
Now people can,
even though there ain't shit happening.
Right, it really did become a thing, because I start Googling now, is there a post-credit scene in whatever?
I don't know. Is there anything after? People are sitting through 9 minutes of credits, and they get really mad when there's nothing there. The other thing I will say is, one thing I don't like about where the MCU's been going is, the CGI in terms of their suits and how they're using the CGI.
Yeah.
You look at the practical suit in that first movie and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks real. Feels real.
I tell you.
They're more, I mean, more and more, I don't understand why they're just covering up everybody. It's CGI. So they're just wearing the suit.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because they had an exhibit up at the Franklin Institute in Philly a little while ago. And I took my son up there, my 12-year-old. They had the Mark I suit and like the Mark V or something like that. And then the great big one that he made in the desert, and just to see his face light up when he saw these suits, you know, and all the other practical suits. Yeah, it's right. Exactly. It's real, right? Like they actually can wear these things. And that was so cool to see those. There's something about those practical suits that the CGI ones just don't have.
You see, guys, I said earlier, let's get a big buff dude to play Hulk. Let's bring back the practical suits. Right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, yeah. It's 2020. We can do anything, you know?
We need more puppets in movies also.
Hey, and Baby Yoda worked, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's our top fives, guys. I want to do a quick wrap up just to remind everyone. So, Imran, what was your top five again, man?
5-1, Iron Man, Avengers, Captain America Civil War, Captain America Winter Soldier, and then I cheated and did Infinity War and Endgame tied for number one.
No problem. Sean, what was you and I's list? Give him yours. What was your 5-1?
So mine was 5 was Guardians of the Galaxy, 4 Thor Ragnarok, 3 Winter Soldier, 2 Infinity War, and number 1 Endgame.
All right, and my top 5 was Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok, Captain America Winter Soldier, and Iron Man was my number 1.
They're all great movies. Yeah. Isn't that a bad movie?
Yeah, I'm all about it. Did you guys have, try to limit it since there's only 23 to pull from here, but did you have any honorable mentions that didn't get mentioned yet today, Mr. Imran?
I did. The one that didn't get mentioned, Black Panther.
Yes.
I thought was very important in when it came out. The first movie where it was more than people following the MCU were excited about this movie. In fact, my boss at work, she does not watch the MCU movies. She saw this trailer. She took all of us in our department. She's like, we're going to see this movie. Nice. Like during the day instead of working. I was like, whoa. But just seeing, you know, little black kids go out and connect to this movie was amazing. You know, the third act is a little wonky with the CGI, but the world building they do, the talent behind the camera, in front of the camera, very special movie, and I think a very important movie for Marvel.
Absolutely, and like you said, it gave representation to those kids that really had not had it at that point. What about you, Sean? You got any honorables that we didn't talk about yet tonight, man?
I do, actually. I also had Black Panther on mine, and I wanted to mention... Michael B. Jordan in that movie, obviously, tremendous.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. I don't love Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. I may be in the minority there.
So in that movie, he is the least interesting character in the movie. He is way better in Winter Soldier, in the Russo Brothers. Yeah. Again, he's better in the other movies. Like, his fighting in Civil War was amazing.
Yeah.
Not so much in the Black Panther. It was more about the crew, the ensemble cast in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I love everybody in that movie, and I love him probably the least. So.
Yeah.
But a couple other ones I had, Spider-Man Homecoming was an honorable mention, and Doctor Strange. I may be in the minority here. I really like Doctor Strange a lot. And
it's a good movie.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I never followed as a kid. I always found the mystic stuff kind of hard to follow and kind of, you know, didn't really click with me. But the movie, I really loved what they did with him. And of course, Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, come on.
Yo, Cumbersnatch is the best. He really is. He seems like a guy who knows what's going to happen all the time. Like
exactly.
He plays it. Their casting is dead on always. It always is. I don't think they've had a misstep in the casting.
Right. I'll just round out my top 10 real quick. I'm looking at it here, and I think they've all been mentioned, but I'll just go through them real quick. My number 6 would have been The Avengers from 2012. My number 7 would have been Black Panther. Number 8 would have been Homecoming. Number 9 would have been Civil War. And my number 10 was Infinity War. So that would have rounded out my top 10. All right, guys, so what we like to do at the end of the show is go over and open up the suggestion box and just mention a couple of fans that gave us shout-outs online. I don't know that we've failed to mention any, but we'll just see what we got here. So our buddy Dan over at Netflix and Swill threw up a nice little gif of Spider-Man from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Nice.
Love that one. Michael Keaton again.
And I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and it's like nowhere near my list. It's the important thing. It's a great movie. It's a very Disney Spidey, but this reboot was so successful for them. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the most important thing. We've been changing over, and it worked. And yeah, he's like a lovable, likable Spidey.
Tom Holland,
great,
right? Come on.
Tom Holland is great.
You guys prefer Tom Holland over Maguire?
I like those Sam Raimi movies.
I did too, man. I loved them.
Yeah.
You know, my Spider-Man growing up was this Pete who was adult, who was in college, who, you know, had a job at he's like a trust fund baby.
Right.
Gets a little bit much.
Well, I had asked you guys a couple days ago about including all Marvel movies or just sticking to MCU. If we had done just Marvel as an umbrella, I can almost fucking bet your ass that Spider-Man 2 would be on there.
Yep.
Spider-Man 2,
absolutely.
Definitely. In there,
absolutely.
Yes.
So I'm always Maguire, but that's also what I grew up with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yep.
Our buddy Paul over at the Countdown has got everyone charging the field in Avengers Infinity War. Mm-hmm. That would be his pick. Another one that we couldn't really include, but I just want to see what you guys think about him because I absolutely love it, is Deadpool. Our friend Gidget Von LaRue mentioned Deadpool.
Yeah,
definitely.
Not technically MCU, but how awesome is Deadpool?
Love Deadpool.
Bro?
I mean, it's MCU now. Oh,
that's
but
true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
This, you know, the first R-rated movie, but, you know, giving way to your Logans and your Jokers. And I want to see more. It's, I want to see more mature, you know, the hangover of superhero movies.
Right, like, right, yeah, right.
You know, the fact, and it's all Ryan Reynolds. The man, it was, it took him 11 years. He was trying to get that movie made for 11 years.
Yep, that's awesome.
And they nail it. And the marketing was great for that first movie.
Yeah.
It was almost too much, but it was brilliant. It worked.
Yeah, he's just so good in it too, man. It's just like, it's basically Ryan Reynolds being himself wearing a Deadpool costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell he loves the character and he gets it.
Yeah,
it
totally comes across.
It's awesome. So Wizard Podcast over on Twitter has a GIF of the Winter Soldier. So they're in agreement with all three of us there. Steve from Everything I Love from Movies, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever GIF that he shared. How about this one? So the After Movie Dinner over on Twitter answered Iron Man 3.
Oh, interesting. As the best?
As their favorite.
Wow.
And I threw up a little, what the fuck, GIF?
I mean, it's not
and
even
they
the
said,
best Iron Man,
and
right?
They said, seriously. Well, here's what they say, which, of course, if this is their favorite, that's great. So here's their kind of what they said. They said, seriously, it's the best MCU movie. I'm dead serious. Great stunts, great performances, great script, awesome cast, and it's a movie that's actually about something. So there you go.
I mean, in that movie's defense, like Iron Man 2 was a, you know, kind of a complete copy of the first
one.
Right. Shane Black did try a different way with Iron Man, but then he turned it into a Shane Black movie. There's a kid. It's Christmas. Yeah. That's like every Shane Black movie.
I will say, I like that one better on the rewatch than I did the first time around, but I still didn't love it.
Yeah.
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 Swap.
The Mandarin, but Ben Kingsley's great, but they kind of waste the Mandarin, but it's a good, I don't know, it's a weird twist.
Yep. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting pick, and I thought they were, like, you know, fucking with me, but it just explained himself. So, Swamp Thing over on Twitter says Thor Ragnarok because it introduced us to Valkyrie, played by Tessa Thompson.
Yeah,
I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find any that haven't been mentioned yet. Probably unlikely. Well, Game It All on Twitter said Doctor Strange, which you mentioned, Sean, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see what the fans over on Facebook said real quick, and then we will wrap up, guys. So let's see.
I love hearing all the different, like, again, there's something for everyone. Something, you know, that's, you like Iron Man 3, that's perfectly fine. It's like not a whole, it's like,
yeah, I know. It's like you said, I mean, there's not even, I mean, Thor the Dark World, maybe, but other than
but
that,
it's still,
other
it's
than
not
that.
Like a, it's not like a Josh Trank Fantastic Four.
Right. You know, right. It's still
no
respectable.
Clunker.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our buddy Michael Hill, who's been on the show before, and I got to tell you, Imran, I don't know if you listened to my episode. We did our top five superhero films, and that was of all time. We did that about, we did that about 6 months ago. But
I might have to listen.
But he was a guest on that show, and he named this movie as his number one superhero movie of all time. So of course he's
okay.
So of course he's putting it as his number one MCU movie. But it's Black Panther.
Oh wow! Yeah, no, that's a solid pick too. I could totally get that.
Yeah, and he had a great. Yeah. If you want to go back and listen to that, but he had a great commentary as to why he considered it his number one. But he's sticking with that for his MCU pick as well. David over on the Facebook fan page says Infinity War and Civil War, although I just rewatched the first Avengers and it is a close second.
Mm.
Joey, a new fan to the page, said either Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor Ragnarok. Two fun ones.
Yep.
I'm with Joey.
See, people like the fun ones. And like I've seen those, you know, Black Panther is number one on a couple of lists. Like you were saying, Sean, before, the lists are wildly
all
different. And some
place.
Of them have these movies as number one.
So our buddy Nick Speransky over on Facebook said Spider-Man Homecoming. And then he's got a nice little touch here. He says, I will hand it to Michael Keaton, though. He made this a 5-star movie for me. If it wasn't for his stellar performance, this could have been just another typical superhero movie, but he elevated it so much.
Yeah, he was
and
great.
Personally, as a villain, I prefer Vulture to Thanos.
Wow, no, dude, I'm a Spider-Man fan. Look, the best scene in that movie is just him and Tom Holland sitting in a car talking.
Yep.
And it's amazing. Like, he is so good, and I love Michael Keaton. He needs to do, like, an old Batman movie. Get Michael Keaton back.
Please, man.
He did Birdman.
Like I would literally just...
Bird, that's Batman.
Yeah, he did do Birdman, I don't think that counted, but yeah. Tony Vanden Bush over on the page says Thor. We didn't mention Thor tonight, the first one.
The first Thor, really, huh? I mean, directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, and Natalie Portman. I love her.
Natalie Portman, and you got Odin. What's his name?
Anthony Hopkins.
I like Thor. I mean, of the Thor standalone films, I would say it's probably, well, Ragnarok, but it's a close second. Let's see. So Aaron Tucker on the page said it's hard to choose between Ragnarok, Civil War, and Guardians, and all for different reasons. Yeah, there you go. Jon Snow says, I love Endgame 3000.
Yep.
That's his pick. And then I'll just mention a couple here. Deanna, who's actually a dear friend of mine in real life, and she's a fan of the page as well. She said, so far, since her and her husband have not finished watching all of them yet, they're going through the Marvel timeline in order and trying to watch them as, I guess, CNET did a thing where they released an article on the way that you should watch them in the proper order.
Yeah.
So they're going through that. She said, as of right now, their favorite is the OG Iron Man.
Yeah.
So obviously,
solid. Still holds up.
Obviously, totally. Not going to argue with that. And then Ashley is watching Winter Soldier as she's typing this to us.
Nice.
She said that's her favorite. Ashley from Rabbit Ear. So thank you so much. So that's our fan feedback for this week for the suggestion box. Guys, I want to thank you for being here. Imran and Sean, I just can't thank you enough, man. I know you guys love the MCU. So as soon as I knew I wanted to lay down this episode, I said, let me hit these dudes up. Imran, tell everybody where they can find you and your puppets and everything over there, man.
Thank you again for having me on. Yes, you know, I'll talk about the MCU whenever. You can find me over at the Jock and Nerd podcast. Search that or just visit jockandnerd.com. Consists of me, I'm the nerd. Anthony is the millennial jock, and Rugboy is the ornery puppet that probably makes the most sense out of all of them. He's like the smartest one, let's be real. He honestly is. Jockandnerd.com. Would love to have you come. We geek out about comic book and superhero TV movie news and reviews.
Awesome, man. Thanks for being here, Imran. I can't wait to have you back, brother.
I always love hanging out with you, Jeff.
Thanks, man. And then Sean, first timer, buddy. I'm so glad I was able to finally get you on the show. You
me
know,
too.
We've met in various circles before, but yep. Never had you on the show. So thanks so much for being here. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your show since you've never been on, and then where they can find you?
Yeah, man. So I am first of all honored to have been on the show. Been looking forward to it since we talked about it. Always a pleasure to talk about movies, and especially comic book movies, which I love. My show is called Stories of Your and Yours. I read short stories, and I give a little intro, a little bit of background on the authors and the publication history of these stories, and I add sound effects and music to the stories as I read them to give them a little bit more vitality, if you will. I do a lot of Edgar Allan Poe on there. I've done some Ray Bradbury, some Guy de Maupassant, guys like that. Lots of different stuff on there. I'm at about 45, 50 episodes, something like that at this point. So lots of stuff to choose from. A little something for everybody, kind of like the MCU. And I think by the time I'm going through a little bit of a transition in my studio right now. So I'm probably on hiatus until about February, but I think this will be out after that, right? So
in February, but yeah.
So I'll be back online by the time this comes out. And so you can find me at SYY Podcast on any of the social media platforms. I do that because, you know, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to name my podcast with homonyms, but, you know, you live and learn. So you can...
Which your is your and what's the other?
Your is mine or it's yours?
Yeah. It's Y-O-R-E and Y-O-U-R-S. So I take submissions from listeners as well. See, it's kind of clever if you're seeing it. But if you're hearing it,
if you're
hearing it, not so much. So,
right. Well, the Velvet Drizzle. I'm glad I had you on here, brother. I appreciate it, and I hope you come back soon, man. Okay.
I'll be here anytime you want me.
Thanks, brother. Well, that's it, guys. So that's our top five MCU movies. A lot of crossover, which I guess is to be expected. But go watch these films, guys. I mean, they are blockbusters for a reason, and they did something that was really just crazy if you think about it. So I'm interested to see whether it's Disney Plus or in the cinema where they take it going forward. I hope they do my girl Black Widow justice, but we will see. Guys, I appreciate you being here. Thanks so much for Imran and Sean. This is Gerald signing off. Until next time, take care, dudes. Thank you for listening. Two Peas is an independent podcast. We rely on donations from our executive producers in order to release new content weekly. We would like to give a special thanks to all our current producers, Kathy Ross, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Justin Esquivel, Paul Chomo, Carmen Signy, and Daniel Henderson. If you would like to become an executive producer and help us continue to release great content, please visit 2peasonapod at patreon.com or check out the show notes for this episode. Again, thank you for listening.